Welcome to this week's teaching from Exchange Church in the heart of Belfast.
We all right? I have. I was having a wee chuckle. I've gone deaf in one ear. Which? What? What? None of that nonsense. And which? It's really. Do you know it's really annoying, isn't it? When you get one ear, it's just blocked. These are all looking at me like I've got four heads. You all understand what that's like. Do you know what the worst thing is? I was eating toast this morning and I was like, nah. You know, everything's magnified in your head. So it's put me in slightly bad form. I'm just going to let you know that at the start of it. It's not what you want to hear the pastor get up. I'm actually in bad form because my ears are blocked. And it's put me in awful bad twist. And do you know the thing is? I can't hear. See, if you were actually saying, shut up, sit down, you're talking nonsense, I actually wouldn't hear it anyway. So I'm just gonna preach my way through it. So are we all good form this morning? Are we all in good form? Brilliant. It's lovely to see you all. To see you. Oh, come on. That's awesome. Nice to see you. There's people of a generation who are going, what is he doing? And then there's all the normal people like us going, I remember that so well. Isn't that right? So we're going to start a new series today. Brilliant, and it's going to bless the life out of you, I hope. And I had a wee moment, you see, it's going to be called No Limits, which whenever I said that to Penny, she started to sing the Too Unlimited song to me. Remember that one? Again, there's a generation who won't get that. But for us 90s ravers, that was a big hit. Anyone? No? I'll put it up this week. Thank you very much. Actually, I can't really hear that. But it was talking about dare. Are you going to dare to believe in the goodness and the promise of God? That's what this whole series is going to be about. It's going to build on our series on Ruth. And I was laughing about even using the word dare to believe. I mean, because I grew up, I mean, it might just be a Northern Ireland thing. So if you're watching, sorry, I meant to always say hello to people online. Hi, people online. I hope you're good wherever you are. And but did you ever do that thing where you'd, as a kid, where you'd run up to somebody's door, knock seven bells out of it, and then run like mad? Now, we did that in the Troubles, right? That, which, looking back, was kind of a wee bit silly, really, wasn't it? You know, amazing how many of us didn't get shot or something. But, you know, I used to love it. We lived in Bangor, and I can remember for hours just, you know, running round with my mates, just knocking windows and doors, and then running like mad. It's bad now. This is part sermon, part confession this morning, but I absolutely loved it. Don't look at me with those eyes. Who's done that? Come on. It's kind of like a Northern Ireland rite of passage, isn't it? And that's what David McKenzie's both hands up. But isn't that right? I mean, I can just remember my mates going, dare you? Go on, dare you? And you'd be sitting there, and as soon as you heard the words dare you knew it was on, didn't you? Because there was no way you were backing down. There was no way you're going to be the kid who goes, no, I don't want to do that because my leg's sore and I can't run. It was like, even if your leg was hanging off you, as soon as you heard that thing, I dare you were right in. Isn't that right? No, Penny's gone. No. It was that thing of anticipation, wasn't it? Because as soon as you heard the word dare, what you realized was there was something just about to take place, right? Which was going to inherently have risk attached to it, but it was going to feel amazing, right? Yeah, because it wasn't guaranteed that you might not run up to the door, just go like that, and somebody open the door and go, hey, see you, smack, all right? So you'd walk up to the door with an anticipation, right? Getting closer to the goal, your heart thumping, and then you would run like mad. I loved it, actually. We should do that, Penny, you and I, around the streets of East, just for the crack, because nobody, look at us, nobody's going to think it was us, do you know what I mean? I couldn't run faster. Thanks very much, Penny. You hear that? That's terrible, isn't it? But what I want to say to you, following on from our series in the Book of Ruth, right, is to I'm going to encourage you through this whole series, stop limiting God. Do you hear me? Because I just had this sense during the week. Penny and I, when I was preaching last Sunday, there was a moment when I was preaching and I had a wee moment, you wouldn't even have realized it, not like a wee senior moment where I forgot what I was talking about, but a wee moment where, remember I was calling out to you, and it's never in my notes sometimes. I mean, half of what I say is never in my notes, for goodness sake, but there was this moment where I was going, you know what, you have to believe. You know, the whole thing, remember, of Ruth and Obed and Jesse and David and the line, it's like she never imagined for one minute what God would do through her. Do you get that? And I was trying to encourage you last week to go, do not, I was saying actually what I was saying to you without saying it was, don't limit what God can do in you. Don't limit what the work of grace can do in you. Don't minimize it, shrink it in any way, because all of you, and myself included, we have no idea what God is scheming and planning and working out right now as you sit here. Do you get that? Because his plans are bigger, his view is bigger, his perspective is bigger, his thoughts are greater and higher. And right now, as you sit here with all the weight of the stuff that you carry and the weight of the world on your shoulders, some of us, the Lord's going, leave it with me, because you've no idea what I'm planning, right? It's ultimately for God's glory, not our glory, but for his name and his sake. But he wants to use you in the middle of it all. So not just that you're super blessed, but you get to a point in your life where you stand there and go, holy smokes, isn't God amazing? I mean, have a look at this. Whoever would have thought that he would have chosen me, right, to be part of something so incredible, but that's grace, isn't it? And I just had this sense last week, like the Lord speaking to me going, you need to stay on that theme. Because and I'm going to explain it in just a moment. And then we were listening during the week, Penny and I, to a podcast. Because we're dead holy and that's what we do. I just dropped that in. I mean, after reading the Bible for 10 hours that morning, we just popped on a podcast. But we were listening to a podcast. I can say that's what Penny makes me do in the morning, because left to my own devices, there's not a chance I would be doing it, just to be honest. And but it was Bill Johnson from Bethel. And it was just something completely incidental. But at whatever time it was, 20 past six that morning, I went, there, God, you're saying the same thing again. And he was talking about the parable of the talents and how, you know, we all know the story of the talents, right? God gives you things. And that's a talent that, and in the story, then the master comes back and goes, you had one, you had two. Well, what did you do with what I'd given you, right? It's not about that. That's not what that struck me. That's not what the Lord spoke to me in that moment. What the Lord spoke to me in that moment was, do you notice that when the master comes back, what he didn't ask? I mean, it's quite deep for 20 past six in the morning, isn't it? Most of you are thinking, Frosties or Weetabix. I'm going, Lord, what did the master not say? Right? Had to be God. And what the master didn't say was, so what was going on around you? And how did that affect what you did? He just said, what did you do with what I gave you? He didn't go, flip, times are tough, are they? I know it's been a bit of a tight one since I left. He didn't say, look, I get it, COVID's been a nightmare, so the one talent's fine. You see, in the heart of God, and Bill Johnson went on to say this, the Lord only ever has increase in his mind. Do you get that? The whole thing of that in that moment was the master coming and not going, this has got nothing to do with what's going on around the world. This has got nothing to do with what was happening, because in the heart of God, it's only ever about increase. Now, somebody needs to go, amen. The Lord is not asking you to shrink back. The Lord is not asking you to live in status quo this morning. He's saying, will you dare to believe what grace can really do in your life? Can you really believe and dare to believe? Because as soon as we go dare, there is an anticipation of something which is not yet, all right? But we are standing facing it, and then we feel the nerves, we feel the... And the Lord's going, will you dare to believe about what grace can do in you and what you're called to do with grace working through you? And stop limiting me. Because in the world, I just had this moment of going, even in my own thinking over the last few months, I have been going, well, what are we thinking about the church and what's happening in the world and people figuring out life post-COVID? I just had this sense of God going, seriously, show me somewhere in the Word where I work through circumstances and I'm limited by anything that's going on in the world. Can anyone show me that? Is there anywhere where the Lord goes, I would love to be increasing you and blessing you right now? But the truth of it is, flipping Brexit, seriously. I never saw that coming. Those flipping Europeans, see those French? If honestly, we've got a few French people here, right? Flipping, hijacking our fishing boats and all sorts. I mean, and the Lord's going, honestly, I really wish I could move, but the French have messed it up again. That's a wee joke, right? Sacre bleu. There's nowhere in, listen to me, there is nowhere in the Word where the Lord says his work of grace is limited by one single thing that's going on around you. But we have got to dare to believe in the power of grace and have faith in what grace can do. Because if not, you're going to be formed and shaped and keep going around the same old, forever and a day. All right? Hearing about the goodness of God, but never walking into the fullness of it. And I honestly think, you know, stuff what's going on in the world. I just had this moment, you know, as Bill Johnson said that, and he talked about the talents, and the Lord said, notice I didn't ask him what was going on around him. It was almost like, you know, if you did that from a law mentality, it would sound like the Lord doesn't give you any excuses. But that's not what it's about, actually. It's not about the Lord not giving you an excuse. It's the Lord revealing this heart of increase. From grace to grace and glory to glory, every day, more of a manifestation of his goodness, his unmerited, undeserved favor in your life. Somebody say, yes, I am up for that. All right, because that's the story. Well, if you're not, this series is going to be really dull for you. All right, because what we're going to do is we're going to look at a guy, again, in the Old Testament from the book of Judges. And it reminded me this week, if this is why we preach without hesitation, you know, the unmerited favor of God, because I absolutely believe not just that people are only transformed through an encounter of God's grace. That's basically it. However, you know, we've lost sight. Actually, it says in 1 John 3:8, I believe, that the reason that the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. You get that? The reason why Jesus came was to destroy the work of darkness in your life, to destroy the work of darkness around you. And so part of me through this series wants to encourage you. Are you settling and living with things in your life, right, that Jesus came to destroy? That grace said, I will have no part of you anymore. Are there things where you've compromised on and gone, well, that's okay, that's just the way that's the way that it is. I've tried to break through, I've tried to, you know, but I will accept less than what God has spoken about in his word, because honest to God, Andrew, I've tried it for years and it's never worked for me. Because I want to tell you, I believe that there's a moment as we preach through this book that God is saying, stop limiting me. Stop thinking too small. Stop having this little pocket-sized Jesus that you take out every time that there's a problem, and give him his place in your life, and dare to believe in the goodness and the grace of God, and dare to believe that you can live a life where the limits are broken and the circumstances don't matter, because he is greater than them all. Amen? Because I can't find it in the word where he comes along and says, look, I've got this work of grace, but honestly, can we blame the Germans, not the French? Well, let's blame someone, all right? I've lost my two French people. So I'm going to ask you to reframe your thinking. I'm going to ask you to reframe your heart and go from not God, will you do this, but declarations of faith that say, God, you have done this. You get me? To actually stand in grace. Stand in the power of it and say, Lord, I will not limit you. I will not limit you because I know that you're willing. I know that you're able. I know that you're ready. Remember the whole thing of kinsman redeemer? Had to be willing and able and to do it, because the issue will never be God holding back on you. And that's the good news, because if it's not God holding back, what it means is there's areas that we can grow into. There's new experiences to have, new freedoms to live in, and new... That sounds good, doesn't it? My ear's gone completely blocked again, sorry. So it makes me feel a bit dizzy. Right, so shall we so if we keep doing this? I'm not doing a Gordon Brown impression, remember him? Former Prime Minister. Hello. Do you know when you notice a wee tick about someone, then that's all you can see? Have you ever noticed that? Once you tune in on something, that's all you're going to see the whole way through this. So I try to unblock my ear. Right, let's turn to Judges chapter 6 very quickly. And this is a whole story about a guy called Gideon. And a wee bit like Ruth, if you go, I know all about this story, actually, no, you don't. Because there's layers of grace the whole way through it. And it's fantastic. And we're going to read, because let me make this statement to you. What is the root of limiting God? Right? What is the root of it? The root of it is having a false view of identity. False identity is the root of limiting God. Let me put it that way for you. And that's why grace is the only message and gospel that will ever cause you to live in increasing measures of God's goodness. Because it goes right to the heart of who we are. This will not be a series about believing God for stuff. Do you get that? You don't need to believe God for stuff. I love the way Pastor Prince puts it. He puts that the least use of your faith is for things. The greatest use of our faith is for what? Righteousness. And so where we're going to start is probably somewhere where you might not think we will. Because actually that's where God starts. Because the limits that we put on God are actually not about can he or will he do it. It's about who we believe ourselves to be in the light of what grace has done in us. And once that order is established right and our faith is used for righteousness and standing in that place of grace, just really see what God will do around you. Amen? And so let's read it. Let's read from Judges. We're going to go into Judges 6, actually. We'll start at verse 11. Now, the angel of the Lord came and sat under the terebinth at Ophrah, right, which belonged to Joash the Abiezrite, while his son Gideon was beating out wheat in the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. I'm going to explain this in a minute. Now, the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, now, there is some talk around this, that this angel of the Lord is actually what we call a theophany, Jesus appearing, and we'll come to that probably next week. So this is, there's lots of talk around that, how Jesus would appear in the Old Testament. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, the Lord is with you, O mighty man of valor. Now, this is Gideon in the winepress hiding from his enemies. And the angel says, the Lord is with you, mighty man of valor. And Gideon said to him, please, my Lord, if the Lord is with us, then why has all of this happened to us? And where are all the wonderful deeds that our fathers recounted to us, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord has forsaken us and given us into the hand of Midian. We could just stop there and I could preach that one. Like, hands up, who has ever said that? You hear about the goodness of God and you go, I dead on. If you were good, God, why did that happen? Let me see. Come on. And the rest of you are just so spiritual. It's unbelievable. Never had a doubt in my life, brother. Never. Wake up floating in glory every day. All right. Well, see, the rest of us normal people, of course we've experienced that, haven't we? You know what's really interesting about Gideon? Just think about this. I don't know about you. If I was at my day's work and an angel of the Lord appeared, quite frankly, I don't think I would have that kind of attitude. I mean, he's really huffy, isn't he? He's like, almost like, aye, so what? Here I am doing my work and you're appearing here and God's good, aye, dead on. So where's he been? I'm kind of doing a paraphrase. You need to get the sense of deep frustration with him because this is not a guy who's ready to receive the glory of God in his life. You know what I mean? Because he's going, seriously, God? Now, we need to be really honest about this, and it's okay because remember, under grace, we're good. The Lord's not judging us. But we need to be really honest at times to go, sometimes when we hear about the goodness of God and we hear about the grace of God, our first response is, yeah, but. So we define God's work in our life, not in terms of what he has done, but what we have missed out on. That's what Gideon's going on here. Do you ever do that? We're not as great what Penny was doing or ministering into that area of being thankful. Because quite a lot of the time, what we tend to do is we tend to measure things in terms of what we don't have rather than what God has done for us. And the problem is it makes you angry, frustrated, bitter towards God and towards people when we have that lack mentality of I don't have, you haven't done. Because that's what's going on with Gideon here. I love it. Quite frankly, I think I would have collapsed. Like, honestly, an angel appears. Imagine, go to the office tomorrow and an angel appears. Not only will your colleagues have something to say about that, but I mean, explain that one to your boss. What happened there? To be fair, there was an angel, right? I dead on. Sign you off on the sick. Take some tablets. But do you get my point? So right into the middle of his world and right into the middle of where he's operating, I see this because all of a sudden, as soon as the Lord touches on his goodness, as soon as he touches on grace, what happens is there's this kind of almost involuntary well of, but what about, all his disappointment with God is coming out. Do you get that? His frustration with what God has not done, his hurt that things have, you know, and his fear and all sorts of stuff is pouring out, right? Now, did the Lord not bring us up from Egypt? Now he's blaming God. He's almost saying like, hold on, where are you? And now, actually, I'm going to blame you. Did you not bring us up out of Egypt? Remember when they were delivered? All that stuff? No. Read your Bible. It's awesome. You'll learn so much. But he's further. And now he's going, actually, God, it's not that you weren't even there. It's actually your fault. You did this. Do you know what? Can I be honest with you? I've said that to God loads of times. You asked me to do this, and it's been a flipping nightmare. But you asked me. So I'm kind of on your case here, God. Is that too honest for you? I heard you say, go and do. I've gone and done, and it has hit me all sides every way for a long time. But seriously, you brought me up out of Egypt for this? Too honest? Oh, listen, just get it all out in front of the Lord. It's brilliant, right? Because then you'll see his work of grace really do something. I'll tell you how you know you're really, really loved by God. If you feel for 1 minute that expressing something to the Lord, right, will be held against you, that's how much you know you're under law. Because actually, a heart that is in grace knows that it can bear itself before the Lord and find healing instead of judgment. But to the amount that you are afraid to express yourself and to be honest and authentic before the Lord is the amount that grace still has to work in your life. Does that make sense? Because that's the only way that you know that you're really free is to go, Lord, you know me anyway. You know what's in there anyway. And you love me still. So there's something about Gideon here that it's all out there. Man, it's all out there. He's not going to do the whole, let's pretend. You know, oh, Jesus, you're wonderful. Right? Remember Elimelech, the guy in Ruth. His name is God is Mighty. But as soon as hardship came, he did a bulldozer and ran. That means he ran away for the French people. Did a bulldozer, right? Just realize some things don't translate into French. Did a bulldozer, ran. But now the Lord's forsaken us and given us into the hand of Midian. And what's the Lord do? Now, I love this. The Lord says, this is verse 15. 14. The Lord turned to him and said what? Oh, for goodness sake, here we are again. I keep telling you that I love you, but you just don't believe me, you flipping worthless wee cretin. What is going on? You're a failure, and I'm just about to have enough of you. You're doing my head in. No? Or maybe I'm just slightly disappointed with you. You know, could we just come along this? Could we just talk about this again? Like, why do you keep refusing to believe? Well, what's going on? Seriously, I'm just about cheesed off. No, he doesn't do any of that. Look, he goes, actually, the Lord turns to him and says, go in this might of yours and save Israel from the hand of Midian. Right? Hold on a second. It's almost like the Lord doesn't go down to the level of moaning and complaining and gurning. He says, go in this might of yours. So all of a sudden, what we see is that in your disappointment and your hurt, what grace is going to do is prophesy your future with no limits attached. Do you get that? Because in the moment, in your moment of weakness, when you come close to the Lord, because this is the Lord appearing, okay, as the angel, as the Lord appears, in that moment, what he does every time, you know, and this is going before the time of Jesus, but we see the heart of God throughout the whole time. In your moment of blah, he prophesies a future without limit. Because he's saying, see the thing that you're worrying about, the thing that you're complaining about, the thing that is weighing you down, the thing that is hurting you and frustrating you, go and see victory over it in the might of my grace. Huh. Some of you need to wake up this morning. And so, let me keep going. And save Israel from the hand of Midian. What he's actually saying here is not just about you either. Don't go and just seek out your only personal victory here, Gideon. I'm going to use you to save the nation. Right? Can I just say to some of us, the reason why we limit God is that we just haven't caught a view of what we are called for, which is to be carriers of God's grace to people who don't yet know him. And if you turn it in on yourself, like I said in the story of Ruth, you'll just make yourself sick. So, what does Gideon do? Please, Lord, how can I do that? Right? Behold, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh. I'm the least in my father's house. So it's like, and I'm the weakest. And the Lord said to him, but I'll be with you, and you shall strike the Midianites as one man. And he said to him, if now I've found favor in your eyes, then show me a sign that it is you who speak with me. Like, isn't it funny? He still doesn't get it. You ever felt like, I still don't get this? Like, here's the angel of the Lord appearing and going, hey, Gideon, not am I only appearing to you and calling you out and prophesying a future to you. Gideon still goes, here, will you better just help me by showing me something? Still that not daring to believe what God is setting in front of him, what Jesus is setting in front of him in terms of what could be. So let's get into it. I've set the scene, all right? Is this okay so far? Brilliant. So let's just look at the cycle that these guys are actually in. It's not unlike us. We experience the blessing of God. This is what's going on with Israel at the time. We experience the blessing of God. Sometimes when we experience the goodness and the grace of God, it actually makes us complacent. That's the truth of it at times. And it shouldn't do, because we know that we're experiencing grace upon grace when our heart for the Lord increases. It doesn't make us go, I don't really need the Lord right now. But actually, in Israel's cycle, they go, they're blessed. It makes them complacent. The complacency leads to sin, which leads to suffering. And then they come, oh, I don't like the suffering. So they come all the way back. They cry out to God for help, and then God delivers them. And so that's the cycle that they have been in for years and years here. Now, Gideon, let's look at some of the detail. Do you know what Gideon means, anyone? Gideon means destroyer. All right, destroyer. I love this. All right, or mighty man of valor. You can interpret it both ways. And so it's interesting that it's what the Lord speaks over him as his name, but he feels like it's not, like if you ask Gideon, he's none of those things. When the Lord says, you're holy and you're blameless, how much of your week do you go, I don't feel like I am? All right? But grace says, you're holy and you're blameless. Because when the Lord looks at him, he doesn't change his name, you know, or he doesn't deal with him differently because of his response to God. He just says, Gideon, mighty man of valor, the destroyer. Okay? That's who you are. We've sung it this morning. I am who you say I am. And at the root of our limiting God is that lack of being able to grasp what God is saying and going, I'm not my failure. I'm not my feelings. I'm not my past. I'm not my mistakes. I'm not my weakness. I am who you say I am. I might not feel like a destroyer. I might not feel like a woman or a man of valor. I may not feel holy. I might not feel blameless. I might not feel called. But to quote Ben Shapiro, facts don't care about your feelings. The facts are that he has called you by name. And he says, and he's prophesying over you. Do you get that? We go, I'm not holy because I do this. And the Lord says, no, I'm calling you that. And as he calls you it, he's prophesying what you will walk into and become. Do you understand me? We've got to dare to believe it. To go, in that moment, I'm not defined by my weakness, but I'm defined by his call on my life. And his call is the name that grace gives me, righteous and holy. Okay, let's keep going. And so let's look at this external world that's going on. They're in the middle of great adversity. I think I've said that. Let me give you the detail. What's going on here is the pagan nation of Midian have actually overthrown Israel. Now, the Midianites are nomads, so they don't even settle. They kind of come and go. And what would happen is they would sweep in to the area, and they're like locusts. And they would literally ravage the land. They would strip it. And, you know, what's the point? Why is that detail in there? It's this sense of the Israelites never knew that there would be fruit in their lives because they were always afraid that everything they had would be taken from them. They were living in fear all of the time. Do you know what it's like to work hard but feel insecure that tomorrow could all go? Isn't it incredible? How many of us as believers live that way? We feel like we're not in control of our life. It's like the outside forces are getting to control us, and it's not God's word. And this is what he says in verse 10, and I said to you, I am the Lord your God. You shall not fear the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell, but you have not obeyed my voice. What the Lord is trying to say to us this morning is what we fear is what controls us. What we choose to give over in fear is what will have the run of our lives. And when if you're afraid of your provision, if you're afraid of your health, what you're doing is you're giving control of that thing over the seat of your heart. Do you get that? And actually the Lord says here before he's going to call Gideon out, he goes, don't fear the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. Now, I've got to say this, that one of the things I think you need to do yourself, if I were you, is to think through the things that have been limiting you because you're afraid of them. And we're not going to have a hands up. What's yours? Ooh, make a note. Okay, that's not what it's about. It's not about shaming or embarrassing, but about finding that place of honesty before the Lord and going, I'm afraid of that. Might not be cool to say it. I might not want to say it. But the truth of it is, behind the scenes, that's what's controlling you. So under grace this morning, my great encouragement to you is you are loved. you are accepted and you are only judged as righteous. So don't give those things a place in the darkness, away from what everyone sees, because that's what's actually got control. Because when you fear something, you give permission for it to have a place of authority in your life. And the Lord wants to break that from us so that we can live without limits. What about our Gideon here? What does it tell us? He's an Abizurite from the tribe of Manasseh. What's that mean? Well, he's a small man from a small clan in a tribe of idolaters. So they weren't even like believers, these people. So isn't it interesting? He's a small man in a small clan from a group that didn't even follow God. I guess the point in that is, it's not to go, because many of us, we don't feel like that, right? But do you know what's interesting? It's how he orders it in his head. Why is the detail there? Well, the detail tells us that God doesn't care what group you're from. Do you get that? What does the world love to do? What does the church love to do? What do people love to do? Go, oh, you're this. I know where you come from. I know what your past is. I know what you've done. You're this. You're that guy from that place who did that. Da, da, da. You're one of them. You're not one of us. And the Lord's going to bust all of that. All right? It's no different in the church. And basically, it should be, but it's not. And so what happens here is that, you know, I'm setting up this whole series just to give you these things to think about. But so what we see is a man who's hiding. He's in the wine press. He's hiding because there's no fruit for his labor. He's afraid that whatever he puts his hand to is so temporal that it could be taken away from him at any stage. So he's got no confidence for his future. He is angry with God. Underneath it, he's disappointed with God. And he is struggling to even receive the word of God for himself. And all of these external factors are shaping who he is and what his life looks like. Do you get that? And here we have the Lord who says this morning, I am not in any way limited by what is around you, what you've given yourself to, but in a moment, my grace will break it all. Just let me show you, he's going to show us in this book, what I can do in a moment of grace. But you've got to dare, you've got to start to dare to believe that what he has called you, spoken over you, and said about you is the truth. Yes. And some of us need to let, I'll talk about it, some of us are going to need to let go of those things which have been comfortable, right? Some things that we hold on to, because some of us hold on to disappointment because actually it's comfortable. Some of us hold on to things as excuses, because anytime that something's changing in your life, do you know that? What it means is it necessitates letting go of something in order to walk into something new. But in the letting go of things, many of us find that difficult because we've got used to the patterns of thinking. We've got used to the ways of operating. And whilst it may be disappointing for us and we want to see more, actually sometimes the thought of abandonment towards God and what he can do in our lives is too much. So what we do is we hold on. And we need to not do that. We're going to talk about that in a couple of weeks. Are we okay? Can I have 5 more minutes just to set up this last bit? And so what I love this is in the middle of it all. So in the middle of this, Jesus, grace steps in verse 12 and goes, the Lord is with you, O mighty man of valor. And this is what I want to leave you with today, because God steps, he steps into your world every day. And he steps into your world, and you need to know this. He has a different view, a different lens, and a different perspective on you and where you're going compared to what you have. You know, God was not being sarcastic here. You know, he wasn't going, ha, ha, mighty man of valor, look at that state of you. He was actually declaring and prophesying over this life, this is what you are called for. This is who you are. I don't know about you. Whenever you hear time and time again, the Lord loves you. The Lord has made you righteous. The Lord says over you today that you are his dearly beloved, that you're as loved right now as you will ever be. Your performance means nothing to him, but all he wants is a heart surrendered in grace. No matter how many times we hear that, sometimes we do go, oh yeah, no, but... Right? We can have a wee bit of Gideon like us. Like, because underneath it, like I said at the start, if God is real, then why is this still happening to us? But what happens is that when he comes to us, God speaks his word first, right? And even though Gideon's response is no, God doesn't stop with the plan. He still comes and calls out the future that he has for him. I want to encourage you this morning to go, God is not finished with you. Do you hear me? His work of grace, you haven't even scratched the surface of what he wants to do with you. Stop defining yourself by your past. Stop defining yourself by your emotion. Stop defining yourself by a million other things. Your failure, your patterns. Stop it for a moment and receive just this morning that word of grace that goes, I am calling you. And the name that I give to you is holy and righteous, blameless, healthy, whole, prospered in Jesus' name. Because that is at the root of not limiting God. That's at the root of it. And some of us just need to go, oh, right, I'm going to quit holding on to that which is in the past. I'm going to start to say, Lord, right, I'm going to rest in your goodness and in your love and dare to believe what you really say about me. What you really say about me. Because what I love about this is, and I want to finish by saying this morning, whenever God speaks into your life, right? Every time he speaks to you and he brings grace to you, he's not seeing the problem, he's seeing the solution and the outcome. Do you get that? Grace is always about the increase of that work in your life. You're never defined by the Lord in terms of your problem and where you've got it wrong. You know, God's going to use Gideon here to end suffering, to deliver people, right? And Gideon just would never believe it at this point. But what it doesn't stop the Lord doing is prophesying over Gideon time and time again, calling it out of him. And I want to encourage you today, because as we start on this, I really want to encourage you in this. When the Holy Spirit says anything to you this morning, when he speaks into your world, when he speaks into your heart, right? He's going to prophesy over you in a moment, right? You're mighty, you're holy, you're blameless because I say that you are. And I'm not going to see you through any other lens other than that lens. And I'll do it every day. I'll do it every time you're disappointed. I'll do it every time that you're frustrated. I'll do it every time where you go, flip me. The Lord says, every time I come to you, it will be through that frame of grace. Because it's going to be the only thing that will get to the very root. Regardless of your position today, regardless of your standing, regardless of the judgment of others, idolatry in your own life, all right? God only calls you as grace sees you. And if we can't move our hearts to that place, then we're going to limit what he can do. Because that's the root of seeing a life of grace without limit. Amen? Just saying the same thing about 25 times from different ways. So Proverbs 4:23 tells us this, doesn't it? With this, I'm going to finish. Guard your heart above all else, for it determines the purpose of your life. So I just want to say to you this morning, you're not a failure. Do you hear me? You're not a failure. You're not weak. You're not defeated. You might have made poor choices. You might have poor behavior, but none of that defines who you are. You're not unworthy in any way. And if this week you do anything, can I encourage you as we start on this journey together? There might be lots of things about Gideon that you identify with, but the thing that stands out above it all this morning is for you to understand and to realize that when the Lord comes to you, in order to position you and move you into a place of lived experience of the deliverance and the fullness of God, he's not going to start any other place than shifting your heart to be fully convinced about what grace has done in you. So this week, stop worrying about stuff and things. Do you get me? Stop worrying about what you don't have. Stop worrying about what you need. Because the Lord's promise over you today is, Gideon, you know, I've got